Thank you, sir. Our key verse in this series of lessons we've been looking at is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I was out of town last Wednesday. The heirs preached while I was gone, so there was an interruption per se. In the series of messages that we were looking at what we call personal Bible study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The word study, as we saw, is mentioned three times in Scripture. Ecclesiastes says, "Much study is weariness of the flesh." That's the student's verse. "Much study is weariness of the flesh." The teacher's verse in Thessalonians, "Study to be quiet." Right, that's what the teacher's like, study to be quiet. Then this verse in 2 Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." So the Bible tells us we're to study. We have looked in this series of messages. We looked in the first week was why we should study. The next following weeks were how to study. If I could give you a test, I had to give a test yesterday morning to the students at the Bible college. I taught these lessons. There's actually a seventh, and we'll do that in a couple of weeks after the tent meeting. But we finished up the seventh one with them yesterday, and I had to give them a test. And so I said, "What are the three elements of personal Bible study?" And we've studied those too. You remember them? The three elements of personal Bible study. How do you study? Observation, reading whatever it is you're reading to get all the information, all the details. Who is mentioned? Where is it? What time is it? What day is it? Who are they talking to? What are they talking about? Like a detective, getting all the information. That's observation. Second was interpretation. What does it mean? Looking and making sure we know exactly what that text means, because false doctrine comes from improper interpretation. And then thirdly, observation, interpretation, and application. Thank you. All right. Somebody remembered. Application. All right. And that is, there's only one interpretation, but many applications. How does this text apply? How does this fit my life? Or what does this say to me or mean to me or do for me? So those are the elements of how to study the Bible. Now, tonight we come to the next section of that, and that is what to study. So, preacher, I want to study something in the Bible. What should I study? Well, let me give you some areas or ideas on things that you could study that would get you going. This book is a well of water that never runs dry. You could spend your whole lifetime locked in a room with your Bible studying it and never study everything that's in it. There's no other book in the world like that. You can read a history book and you won't get it all the first time through. There's no way. You'll go back and read it a second time or a third time, but after a few times you'll get it all. This is a book that you never get all of it. And so when it comes to studying this book, there is an endless supply of things that you can study that any one of these, we're going to look at what? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, seven of them. We're going to look at seven of them. And any one of those you could spend your whole life studying and never exhaust it. And yet there's seven of them. And these seven are just seven that came to my mind. You could add others to it also if you think about it when we're done. But let's look at some things. If you say, "I'd like to study something in the Bible," here's some ideas on what you can study. Letter A, or number one, you could study books of the Bible. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Books of the Bible. There are 66 of them. You understand to study the 66 books of the Bible could spend you a lifetime? We did some Old Testament survey. We did some New Testament survey. At the bottom of each of those notes when we went through those 66 books at the bottom was a brief outline of every one of those books. You could take that outline or make your own outline of whatever book it is and from there develop it. And you could spend almost a lifetime studying the book of Genesis to try to get everything out of what's in there. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, all those books. Pick one of those books, study it. I've taught at the college, I've taught the book of Romans, I've taught the book of Revelation. I'm working on the general epistles from James to Jude, getting those ready for that. And it just, you study it and you study it and you still come away thinking, I didn't spend enough time in that. I didn't get that as thoroughly as I should have or could have. We can study books of the Bible. You say, where do I start? Well, don't start with Psalms. Don't start with the book with 150 chapters. Start with Obadiah. You're going to be in the Old Testament. One chapter. Start with Philemon or Jude in the New Testament. One book. But set it down with the purpose of reading through it, not just to read it, and there's a difference between reading and studying, but set through to read it as if you're going to learn it and digest it like back when you were in school and had to read it and know the stuff that was in it in case there was a test. That's how studying the Bible can be. And it is enriching. You will see a lot more when you're studying it than you do when you're reading it. Because when you're reading, you are casually reading and getting through. That's the way it's supposed to be. Study is all a whole different thing, a whole different subject. So find a book of the Bible. One of them piques your interest. You know, Revelation, of course, always piques everybody's interest because it's things to come. That's not a recommended first one to tackle. But find a book of the Bible, the Gospel of John. Now, it's a longer one, but it's good. Start with the Gospel of Mark. It's the shortest of the Gospels, all right? And the quickest. We talked about that recently. But study books of the Bible. Letter B. Passages of the Bible. Passages. That means not necessarily the whole book, and this might be a better place to start. Do a key chapter. Do Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep before the shearers was dumb. He opened not his mouth. All weak like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah 53 is a wonderful entire chapter prophesying the coming of Jesus Christ by a prophet that had no idea what he was writing when he wrote it. 400 years B.C. and he's writing all these details. He should grow up as a tender plant, writing about his life and his death and his crucifixion and his resurrection, all those things, without even knowing what he's writing about. A wonderful chapter. How about Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me, that's a great short, 6, 7, 8 verses. Study that chapter, not just reading it, but looking to see what the shepherd is talking about. Reading it and spending some time on it. There are different chapters in the Bible that are like that. Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the seven churches. Remember all that stuff? You could read about those seven churches and what God had to say. You could make that a complete study. There are so many things we can study in the Bible. Books, passages, which include chapters or just portions of a chapter. I just read John chapter 1 this morning. And the first 5 verses would be a great passage to study. Verse 6, I think, takes us all into a different subject with John the Baptist. Use my marker in 3 minutes. All right, John chapter 1, those first 5 verses. Yeah. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by Him. Verse 4, in Him was life, verse 5, the light shineth in darkness. Verse 6 moves on to another subject, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Those first 5 verses, you could pick that section out and say, I want to study those 5 verses and find out what this means about the beginning and the Word and the light and darkness. What is all that? And you start studying that. We talk about in study using commentaries, using concordances, running the words from one place to another. But you could spend a lifetime studying passages in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 6, the first 8 verses. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And I saw a seraphim, and he went and touched the coals of the altar and touched my lips. And I said, here am I, Lord, send me. Those 8 verses in Isaiah 6 are wonderful. And a great passage, something you could study. Genesis chapter 3, the serpent and Eve and Adam and sin entering into the world. It's not really the whole chapter, but the first 6 verses. Take small portions and break them down and look at them and feed upon them and get everything you can from that information. That's what Bible study is. Letter C. Number three, topics in the Bible. Oh, there's many of these. Different topics. I listed four. Probably four of the bigger ones. Number one, doctrines. You could study the doctrines in the Bible. Oh, how many of those are there? The doctrine of sin. The doctrine of salvation. The doctrine of sanctification. There's one that a lot of folks don't know about. Holiness. Those are doctrines. The doctrine of the deity of Christ. And the doctrine of the humanity of Christ. He was, as we say, 100% God and 100% man at the same time. That'll blow a mathematician's mind right there. The deity of Christ, the Trinity as we call it. The doctrine of inspiration, how we got our Bible. Every word is perfect and pure. The doctrine of preservation, how do we know what we're reading right now is just as infallible as the original inspired, so-called inspired writings were. All of these doctrines, there's so many of them in the Bible. The doctrine of the church. It was hidden in the Old Testament, didn't exist in New Testament time. You could say that these are just some doctrines. You could spend your whole life studying doctrines of the Bible. But if you do that, when are you going to study books of the Bible? And when are you going to study passages in the Bible? See how those three things right there, passages, books, and topics like the doctrine, you've got a lifetime right there in front of you. What a challenge. A second topic we could study in the Bible is parables. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ told about 39 parables in the Gospels alone. The Good Samaritan. The parable of the sower and the seed. 39 different parables, Jesus. You could spend your lifetime studying the parables of Christ. And that's not all. There's parables in the Old Testament. Numbers 23 and 24 says that Balaam spoke a parable. Psalm 78 is a parable of Asaph. Solomon mentioned a couple of proverbs or a couple of parables in Proverbs. Micah and Habakkuk both told proverbs. So if you wanted to study Proverbs, you got your plate full. You could spend an entire lifetime looking at all the parables. All the parables that were there and trying to find out the meanings of them and what they meant. But if you spend your whole life studying parables, when are you going to study doctrines? And passages of the Bible. And books of the Bible. See, there's enough there to keep us going our whole lifetime. We're going to get up to heaven, folks, and we are so worldly. You know, some of us can tell the Lord who won the World Series last year or who won this or that, the NASCAR race, or I don't know what else people are interested in, the movie stars and how many movies they made and all that stuff. We know all that, but we don't know the doctrines, the parables. We don't know the books and the passages of the Bible. When we get to heaven, all that other stuff isn't really going to matter, is it? So topics in the Bible, doctrines, parables, number three, miracles. Oh, don't forget those miracles. Someone has estimated, and this is not coming from me because I haven't taken the time to count them, but someone has said there are 83 miracles in the Old Testament. Aaron's rod that turned into a serpent. The walls of Jericho falling down when they marched around it. The Red Sea parting. A man being swallowed by a whale. 83 miracles, they say, in the Old Testament. And another 80 in the New Testament. I know when I taught the miracles here at church and in the college, I taught that there were 33 specific miracles that Jesus performed in the Gospels. 33 of them that Jesus did. Starting with this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. John chapter 2, turning the water into wine. The last miracle in John chapter 21 with a draught of fishes when they threw it on the right side of the boat and brought in that great haul. In between that, 31 other miracles. Recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You could spend your whole life studying the miracles of the Bible. But if you did, when would you study the parables? Or the doctrines? or the passages. Please don't say, oh, that's just for the preacher. That's just for the Sunday school teacher. That's just for the college professor. And that's for every believer. So not only read the Word of God, but study the Word of God. Number four, under topics, prayers. It is said again that there are 650 prayers in the Bible. 650 specific uttered prayers in the Bible. And they say there are 450 recorded answers to prayer in the Bible. Remember Gideon? Lord, make it wet on one side and dry on the other. Lord did it. Okay, now Lord, make it dry on that side and wet on the other. And the Lord did it. Answered to prayer. Answered prayers. Lord, heal my son, for he's a lunatic. And the Lord did it. 450 recorded answers to prayer. 25 specific prayers of Jesus Christ. 25 times in the Gospels where he verbally prayed. John chapter 17. I pray not for the world, but I pray for those that thou hast given me out of the world, that thou wouldst be with them. You could study the prayers of the Bible and spend your whole life studying the prayers of the Bible. But if you did, when would you study the miracles and the parables and the doctrines? You getting the idea? There's enough in that Bible for us to study to give us a lifetime worth of work. And the Lord's not going to be impressed when we get to heaven with what we know about anything else. He really isn't. So we've got books of the Bible, passages of the Bible, topics in the Bible. Letter D, people in the Bible. This is one of my favorite studies, people in the Bible. Again, we spent some time going through Old Testament Bible characters and New Testament Bible characters and looking at specific ones. We couldn't cover all of them because it is said that there are 3,237. 3,237 people mentioned in the Bible. Now, I don't know who counted them all. It wasn't me. So I'm just throwing that number out there. But 3,237 people named in the Bible. And I don't think that's even including the groups like the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the disciples. There's all kinds of people in that Bible to study. I preached recently on Peter. Remember I said thank God none of us are like Peter. On a mountaintop one moment and in the valley the next moment. But we're all like Peter. And every Bible character that God chose to mention, there's a pattern in their life for us to follow after. We can look at those people that are mentioned in the Bible. Letter E. Words in the Bible. Words in the Bible. And when I say this, I mean words in the King James Bible. One of our church members, this is not embarrassing, so don't worry. One of the church members emailed me and said, I've been reading in Psalm 66, and I came across the word terrible. And it said that the Lord is terrible in His works. And she asked me, she said, what does the word terrible mean? The Lord is terrible. It said He is great and terrible. And she said, surely terrible doesn't mean like we think of terrible. So I looked up the word. It's mentioned 52 times in the Bible. I got the 1828 dictionary out and looked up the definition of the word terrible. One of the definitions is what we think of when we think of terrible. Oh, that's terrible. That means it's bad. God's not bad. But the definition, the number two definition in that old dictionary was, and this isn't the exact word, this is what I use, awe-inspiring. That God is not terrible, but that when you see Him, you are just amazed. And in awe at His greatness and His power and His ability. So study words in the Bible because some of the words don't mean what you think they mean. I don't think that word means what you think it means. All right, study words like that. Run words. Look at like that one, the 52 times. How do you do that? With a concordance. Either a big concordance book like that, that's, you know, Strong's or Young's or Cruden's, we talked about that. Or if you have a program on your phone or an app or something like that, got a concordance on it, you can look up a word, see every time it appears, and look and see what it means. The word impute, a great Bible word, a great Bible doctrine, imputation. Find out what it means. when you're reading and come across a word in the Bible, the word blessed we've talked about recently. Blessed is the man. Well, blessed doesn't mean happy. Because sometimes you're blessed and you're not happy. There have been people locked away in prison and suffering for their faith that said, I am a blessed man. Doesn't mean they're happy. It means they're content before God. It means they're satisfied with God's direction in their life. Modern Christianity wants to take the word blessed and wants it all to be about their happiness. Happy, happy, happy. So study the words in the Bible. Learn what they mean. There's a few words in the Bible. Did you know that? And I do know this for a fact. There are 788,258 words. 788,258 words in this Bible, because obviously in the other Bible versions, they're different words. There's 16 verses missing, 17 in the newest one. Phrases taken out, Lord Jesus Christ. So in this Bible, there's 788,258 words. I counted this. 4,984 of those words only appear one time in the Bible. So don't pick one of those words to do a word study. I looked at the list of all those words that appear only one time in the Bible. You can Google that, by the way. And it gives all the names of all those words that only appear once. I think and was the top one. If, but, A, the letter A, going a mile or something like that. All those words, the top 10 are all words like that. And you probably then, when, where, you don't really want to study those. You know what the number one word is? Number 11 in the top list. The number 11 word that's not one of those, I don't know what to call the other ones. Nani, you're the teacher here. I don't know what. If, and, but, where, when, how, all those. The number one word that's not one of those is the word, wait for it, Lord. That's the most commonly used word that's not one of those. It's the number 11 word. It appears 7,365 times. Now, I know that's not important. I understand that. The second most common word is the word God. The third most common is Israel. And again, leaving out those one and two, three letter, four letter words that aren't really personal pronouns, I guess you'd say. So the Lord, God, Israel, study words in the Bible. Words have meaning. Words mean something. That's something our modern society has lost the knowledge of. Letter F. Study numbers in the Bible. Again, one of my favorite studies. Numbers in the Bible. Every number represents something. We call this numerology, is what the doctrine is called. The number one is the number of unity. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, 1 John 5:7. And these three are one. Unity. Father, I pray that they might be one as we are one. The number one represents unity all through Scripture. We don't have time to go through all the numbers. The number five either represents grace or death. It depends on who is teaching it at the time. Grace, five letters. The number five represents grace. Or it represents death, which is where I toward the lean. Genesis 5 is, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. That's all Genesis 5. That's not grace. David picked up five smooth stones from the brook. One was for Goliath, and four for the other brothers. That's death. Charles Wesley wrote a great hymn, Five Wounds in Christ when he died on the cross. And again, you could say, well, that's grace, and it is, but it's also death. Satan and the devil, there's those names. Both five-letter words, Satan, devil, death. So study numbers. The number nine, the number of fruit-bearing. The number 13, the number of rebellion. We don't have time to go through all those things. The number six, the number of man. All the numbers represent something. You could spend a lifetime studying the numbers in the Bible. But if you did, when would you study the words? Or the people? Or the topics? Or the passages? Or the books. There's a lot in that Bible to study. Finally, number seven or letter G, and this one you knew was coming, prophecy in the Bible. you can study prophecy. Whether it's in the Old Testament, prophesying the first coming of Christ, starting with Genesis 3:15, I had to remember what chapter, Genesis 3:15, the first prophecy of Christ's coming, Isaiah 53, Isaiah 64, Isaiah 9, Psalm 22, all kinds of places in the Old Testament to prophesy of Christ's first coming. The prophecy of the invasion of the Assyrian invasion of the northern tribes, the Babylonian invasion of the southern tribes. We studied that in Old Testament survey. All that was prophesied in the Old Testament. So you could spend your lifetime studying just the prophecies in the Old Testament. But then would you study the ones in the New Testament? The prophecy of the church, the formation of the church, the founding of the church, the fashioning of the church. How about the second coming of Christ? That's a pretty big one, isn't it? In fact, many of the prophecies in the Old Testament were not talking about the first coming, but talking about the second coming. When I say that, I mean the second advent, not the rapture. The rapture is not really found in the Old Testament. They weren't looking for the taking away of the church. They didn't know anything about the church. They were looking for that Messiah to come in power and glory, like he does in Revelation 19. That's yet a prophecy yet to come. So you could study prophecy and spend the whole time looking at the second advent, the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne of judgment, eternity. Revelation 21, the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven and how it's designed and fashioned. And who lives there? In Revelation 21. In Revelation 22, the first five or six verses, the new heaven, the new earth. And who lives there? Somebody's going to live on a new earth for eternity. The meek shall inherit the earth. Remember that? What to study in the Bible? Can you pick something? Can you understand there's enough there to study? You know what your blessing is? And I told the college students this. I said, your problem is you don't get to choose what you get to study, at least not while you're in college. You're going to study their summer courses. Dr. Goddard was teaching Psalm 51. You're going to study Psalm 51. You didn't get a vote. You didn't get to say anything about it. Then I come in there and do personal Bible study. They didn't get to say, yeah, I want to study that. No, they was forced down their throat. Then Brother Johnson from Koshaka came in and taught on prayer after that. Three subjects in the summer school, they don't get to choose. In Bible college, you don't get to choose. You know what our blessing is? We get to choose what we want to study. A book of the Bible. A passage in the Bible. A topic in the Bible. People of the Bible. Words in the Bible. Numbers in the Bible. Prophecy in the Bible. And that doesn't exhaust the list. That's just the beginning. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Nothing else we know when we get to heaven is going to matter. It's all about that book right there. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray tonight you would help us to be overwhelmed with the reminder of the volume of material that's in that book. Lord, this world does not appreciate that book. They don't appreciate it because they don't understand it. They don't have a clue. No lost person understands the value of the Bible. Lord, and the sad thing in our day is that very few saved people understand the value of the Word of God. Many will go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and hear it and listen to it, and that's as far as it ever goes for them. They never read it. They never study it. They never feed upon it. And Lord, because of that, they never really grow. So Lord, help us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. Help us to choose from this list and others of topics and ideas and thoughts that we can study. And Lord, make your word a blessing to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What song do we have tonight, Brother Matthews? 471. Let's sing the first and last verse of that song together tonight.